Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station 97.7.
And we're back here at Memorial Stadium at halftime, about 2 minutes away from kickoff to the third quarter. The Rock leading at 14-3 here this afternoon. Both teams pretty even on first downs. The Rock with 11, Clarion with 10. The Rock, though, putting up 251 total yards to Clarion's 135. The majority of that today has been on the ground. 15 rushes, 142 total yards for the Rock. 10 of those carries by Wes Hills, big number four, who's had 106 yards on the ground and a touchdown so far. Roland Rivers has put it on the ground five times for 36 yards. A quiet day so far. Clarion, really, you thought this would be a day where maybe you could pass better than throw the ball, yeah. And it's been the exact opposite of that. Clarion's done a nice job containing the Rock passing offense. Roland Rivers the third, 7 of 12 for 109 yards and a touchdown. He's not been picked off, and he has been sacked one time. It's been a clean game as far as turnovers go.
It really has been, and the Rock has had opportunities to take two away from Clarion, and they've, like you mentioned earlier, had one taken away from them and then missed an opportunity on the other one. So defensively, they've been doing a nice job. I was talking about going into halftime. What's Chris Weibel going to come out and do offensively to get something going? I thought they had some early success with check-down offenses, putting slot receivers or running backs in motion, getting them one-on-one with linebackers and just going check-down, check-down, check-down. Now, obviously, you got to find the end zone at one of those points, but since they can't run the ball, it's kind of stymied the offensive game system for Chris Weibel, so interested to see what type of adjustments he's made. Meanwhile, for the Rock offensively, can Wes Hills continue to run the ball at the rate that he's running the ball, and will the passing game get going? Right now, no need for the passing game to start performing well, but at this time, you know, they actually need Roland Rivers to step up at different occasions.
Well, the Rock going to get the ball to start the second half here, as Clarion had the ball first, so an opportunity here to maybe play a little separation now. You missed that opportunity to put points on the board with the pass of 36 yards to Austin Scott at the end of the half, but Austin did not get down. He tried to get to the end zone and fell about 4 yards short. So let's see where it goes from here as the Rock kicks it off, and it's Mark Carter on the top side. No, that's Eric Glover-Williams who catches it, drops it, picks it up, now rolls across the 20, 25, 30, does a nice job of picking that up and just taking off.
It's funny in special teams how broken plays can actually sometimes break for big gain. Right there, Eric Glover-Williams just couldn't corral the kickoff. He was able to scoop it up off the ground and found a nice seam up the middle of the field, was able to use his speed to get through there, and Rock setting up in not too bad a shape, 31-yard line.
So a big second half of football that could set up some excitement for next week. Guess up north in Erie, IUP and California were playing up there, but both those games are under a lightning delay. We've had a couple of those incidents so far this year. The Rock turning out first and 10, starting out at the 31-yard line as we kick off the third quarter, and it's a handoff to Wes Hills, and he goes into the pile for no gain, maybe an inch is about it. They're going to give him a yard, but boy, he was scrapping to get that far.
Yeah, I think everyone again in the building knew that they were going to go to Wes Hills on first down coming out of halftime and give the front four for Clarion credit. They were able to fill the gaps, and they were able to bring down Wes Hills, setting up a second down and lengthy for the Rock.
Second down and 10, or 11, or 9, I'm sorry, and there's a pickoff, and this could go for a pick six. Picked off by number 5 of Clarion, Chris Goldea, and he's going to be brought down shy of the goal line, right about the 1 yard line. But boy, that had pick six written all over it as Goldea read Roland Rivers' eyes and had that one cleaned.
Yeah, I mean, he baited Rivers into that pass. They had the slot receiver working one-on-one with a cornerback, and Goldea saw that the whole way. Sat right behind the receiver. As soon as Rivers released it, he just broke right to the football and right and hit him in between the hands, and he was able to use some speed to, well, get down to the one, which Wes Hills, by the way, bringing him down, the speed that Wes Hills had just in the open field is scary. That's how fast he is. I know that's not really the point after the big play that just happened, but sometimes athleticism really shows itself on the field.
Well, hey, it's not in the end zone
yet,
but this could be a game changer for Clarion to get back in the game, and they're going to go first and goal at the one. McGriff is sidecar left, and he's going to take the handoff. He tries to go in and is stuffed. He didn't get there.
We've seen this before, Bob, twice against IUP. The Rock defense, especially when it comes to the run game at the inside the 5-yard line, is very stout. And so you wonder now, Chris Weibel, I'm sure he's going to go back to the ground here to McGriff on this next play, but if the Rock are able to make it to third down, is Weibel confident enough in his quarterback to go to the air in this short yardage situation?
5 tackles for a loss so far in this game by the Rock. That one goes for no gain. 2nd and goal from the 1-yard line. They're going to bring a tight end into the game. He'll be on the top side. McGriff, his sidecar right. He takes the handoff. He goes in to the end zone. That's a Clarion touchdown, and they've cut the lead to 14-9, less than a minute 15 seconds into the second half.
Yeah, mistakes, and you and I were talking about it, that it was a relatively clean game so far for the Rock, and sure enough, second play of the drive for Slippery Rock, they throw an interception, and Clarion able to take it down to the 1, McGriff able to get into the end zone, and just like that, we thought maybe this game could sway one way, boom, it's back the other way, 14-9.
Now the extra point try from James Metzger. Here's the snap, and it's up and it's good, and we've got a stoppage of the play with a flag down. So the kick was good, but hold on. And it's going to be illegal motion in favor of Clarion, so this is going to be pushed back to a longer attempt. And the breeze really picking up right now. I just checked the radar, and it looks like there's a little wave of rain coming just to our south right now. We're kind of keeping an eye on that clock because they figured right around 2 o'clock we'd start to see some rain activity. It's been dry and actually sunny for the first half.
And actually, to be honest with you, I was surprised Clarion didn't think about going for 2 after that.
Here's the extra point try now. This is a bit longer, 25-yard, and it's going to be blown dead again. Another flag comes. And this may change the whole dynamic of what they're going to do if this is pushed back again, unless the Rock was offside. Clarion waving that they may get some yardage back out of this. Well, let's find out.
Number 57 of the receiving team in the neutral zone. Half of this new goal, repeat the try.
So we're just changing back and forth here for the moment. We'll try an extra point again. So 14-9 stands the score at the moment here, with the extra point try to come. And we just talked about how Roland Rivers has been keeping it clean. This is that rare mistake that he's made, but it's going to tighten this game up. There it is again. There's the snap. It's good. Kick is good. We finally get the extra point up and through and make it 14-10 after the McGriff 1-yard touchdown plunge.
Yeah, Chris Gildea, you know, as we talked about, Rivers is looking at that matchup one-on-one on the inside. They do a fake to Russ Hills, hoping to pull in those linebackers, which it did, but he didn't take account for the safety over top of it. And as I said, Gildea just baiting Rivers into that throw, stepping up, making a really nice heads-up play by the safety.
So the Rock going to get the ball back via the kickoff. And, boy, you notice that wind out there, Tyler. It is really starting to pick up, especially on the right side of the stadium here. As we look at the field, the Rock is going to be moving from right to left. They will move into that wind. Back deep for the Rock will be Mark Carter and Eric Glover-Williams. They'll be standing, Glover-Williams will stand right around his 11. Carter's a little further up the field at about the 18. With Zach Cirillo and A.J. Alexander, the up men, standing at their 30.
You're talking about the wind, it just knocked the ball off the tee.
Yeah, we're really starting to see it dramatically pick up. Great contingent on hand today from the Rock faithful on the far sideline as well. 13:49 mark of the second quarter here, second half underway, 14-10 in favor of the Rock now after the interception that set up a 1-yard plunge by Malik McGriff.
Ball fell off the tee again, so they're going to have to bring a holder on, which, again, can always set up for a good return because you're lacking one guy who can go down the field.
Here comes the boot, and he chopped it, and it went straight up in the air and is almost picked off by one of the Clarion guys. That could have been an onside kick scenario. I don't know if that was intentional or not. That might have been intentional.
I can't figure it out.
Because he kicked it straight up in the air. Now we've got flags flying all over the place. So let's see how they sort this out.
Maybe kick catch interference.
Well, Cameron Spadicine was up the nearest to the ball, and he went to grab it, and it looked like he might have been brushed as he tried to grab it, but it was one of the Clarion guys trying to grab it downfield.
And since it went straight up in the air, it wasn't a traditional onside kick. It didn't hit the ground, which means that that receiver is allowed to have an opportunity to catch the ball, and if he even touched him a little bit, that would bring the flag out.
So now we've got the discussion at midfield. Let's see what this is. Boy, look at that wind.
It's aggressive. It's taking out tents down here on the sideline.
Still a discussion. Now we're going to finally get the call.
Personal foul. This kicking team, number 23. Also, after the play, dead ball on personalized conduct. Slippery Rock back.
So they call the Slippery Rock bench on a unsportsmanlike conduct after the play. So
after the penalties.
So it looks like Slippery Rock will, what, get the ball here right about midfield.
Yeah.
So at the 13:49 mark, we'll finally get things rolling again here after the delay to sort out the alternating penalties. But the Rock going to come out with Wes Hills in the backfield. Roland Rivers now midfield, good field position. But again, they've just given up a touchdown to start out the second half. So their second series already here, starting at midfield. Here's the snap to Rivers. He's going to put Jermaine Wynn in motion, and it's a pitch play to River or to Wynn, and he's got yardage up forward as he runs right smack into Chris Gildea, who just had the interception, but he kind of carries him forward for almost four and a half yards.
Yeah, nice play. I like having that in your option just to sweep, and as you mentioned, a little toss play for Jermaine Wynn, and so you're able to pick up 5 yards, and you're also introducing a new look, so when the next time you move Wynn in motion, they're going to have to focus on number 9.
So second down and 6 for the Rock. And there's the handoff. No play action. And he dumps it off this time to Wynn. And he's got the first down. And he escapes a tackle. And he's still on his feet. Across the 35-30. Takes a hit and puts his head down as he goes out of bounds at about the 22-yard line. And it's a first down, Slippery Rock, on the Jermaine Wynn reception.
This time, 5-yard curl route as opposed to the slant pattern he ran last time. Gildea giving him some buffer coverage, and then Jermaine Wynn making Gildea miss, which means he got some extra yards after the catch.
24 yards on the play. Now it's a handoff, Wes Hills, and he's going to try to spin around and get to the 20, and he does just that. He was going to be hit at about the line of scrimmage, and he just kind of spun out of that and got a couple.
Yeah, Jake, or it looked like Jake Brown, or check that, make it Safe Khan was the one that came in and was able to shake off the offensive lineman for the Rock and bring Wes Hills down.
He's one of their big defensive linemen that is so good. Here's Roland Rivers, a low snap. He's going to pull it down. Now he's going to try to get what he can get, and he avoids a tackle, puts his head down across the 10, down to the 8. And he picks up a Rock first down. It'll be first and goal after the 12-yard scamper.
That's what makes him dangerous, his ability to make people miss, extend the play, and then also get out into the open and run. And so when you have a pocket collapse, he steps up, moves to his left, sees that he's got some green in front of him, uses his athleticism, his big frame, to go pick up a few more yards and set the Rock up inside the 10-yard line.
Zach Cirillo will now replace Henry Litwin, who goes off. It's first and goal at the 9 for the Rock. And we'll make an 11-yard carry. They spotted it at the 9. And Clarion showing some pressure, and now Roland Rivers quickly changes the play. Here's the snap, and it's a screen. It's out to Wynn. He's got it. He puts his head down across the 5, and he avoids a tackle as a result and goes in for the touchdown. Jermaine Wynn, a 9-yard touchdown reception, and is there a flag? I don't see one. It's a touchdown, Slippery Rock, and that's his 4th touchdown in 2 weeks.
Great job by Mike Murhaut in the slot position. Chris Gildea, who showed blitz on the play. That's when the Rock decided to go with the screen to the flat side. Mike Murhaut doing a nice job of a cut block on Chris Gildea. That means he was out of the play. You had blockers the rest of the way. Jermaine Wynn able to use his speed, see the field, get into the end zone. That's a big response from Slippery Rock.
Yeah, it really is. After giving up the almost a pick 6, but it ended up being a 1-yard rush for a touchdown for Clarion. Now you respond. Here's the extra point try from Jake Chaplin. He puts it through, and he's perfect 3-for-3 on the day. At the 12:01 mark of the third quarter, the Rock has now taken a 21-10 lead here at Memorial Stadium in Clarion. It's Rock football right here on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Keep your family breathing easy this season with Filtrete Allergen Defense Air Filters from Slippery Rock True Value. Right now, they're on sale for only $9.99 each. These electrostatically charged filters not only capture large allergens like mold, spores, and pet dander, but also microscopic allergens like dust, smoke, and smog. They also trap bacteria and particles that can carry viruses to keep your family healthy. They last for up to 3 months and are available in a variety of sizes. Head over to Slippery Rock True Value for these bargains of the month while supplies last.
Hi, this is Tavares Sample, safety, Slippery Rock University, and you're tuned in 97.7 for Rock Football.
So a five-play drive that went 50 yards for the Rock, and it is capped by a Jermaine Wynn 9-yard touchdown reception from Roland Rivers. The Rock now reclaiming an 11-point lead, 21-10 here.
Yeah, doing it in a nice fashion, too, able to take advantage of a bizarre special teams play by Clary. We're still trying to decide if that was an intentional or unintentional onside kick. The Rock were able to come away with it, a few plays down the field, and they're able to find the end zone.
And in another bizarre fashion, the up man is Desmond Johnson, a 6-foot, 290-pound defensive lineman who's probably in there to block. This one's going to go through the end zone. Jake Chaplin not going to mess around with any kind of return and bring the ball out to the 25-yard line. That's an interesting scenario, bringing up a big defensive lineman.
Yeah, he sticks out up there. I was, you're like, well, that's not a traditional guy that should be back returning kicks. But, hey, yeah, you get an extra blocker. He's able maybe even to take two guys down if they're going to try to run something up the middle. So, again, just trying to do things a little bit differently. Chris Weibel trying to get things to happen. Of course, their big turnover is why they found the end zone last time. We talked about maybe offensive adjustments that they're going to be looking at. This is really their first true drive of the second half.
They're actually going to bring out Scott Florence in the backfield this time, in the backfield replacing Malik McGriff. And he'll be a sidecar to Clemens, who throws the screen pass to the outside. It's caught and promptly dropped by Dana Jackson, and it'll be second down. How about Jake Chaplin? He now has gone 41 for 41 in point after tries this season, and that gives him 72 straight point after attempts going back to the midway point of last season. That is good for third best in the entire nation.
He's such a secret weapon. I mean, maybe it's not a secret anymore, but to have that option in your back pocket, Sean Lutz talks about it all the time. That just makes you feel so much more confident in your special teams as a head coach.
Florence remains sidecar right. Low snap. Clemens pulls it up, holds it, now throws. Has his man, and he catches it and drops it again. As I'm not sure if he had full hold of it or if he saw the pressure coming, but that was, again, Dana Jackson, who has now back-to-back drops.
The pass was a little bit off Dana Jackson having to go behind him. Maybe he could have brought it down, but that was the matchup Clarion wanted, the one-on-one on the outside, Dana Jackson versus Brad Zapp. From a better thrown ball, you pick up 5-6 yards, and you're looking at a third down and short. It's a very difficult throw to throw really from. I mean, he's at the middle hash, inside the hashes, and he was trying to throw to the sideline. It takes a strong arm to make that throw. Very difficult pass.
Third and 10, and now McGriff back in the game. He moves up into the slot. It's a five-receiver set. Here comes the pressure. And Jim Suave gets a hold of him, and he gets rid of it as he's being pulled down. And what are they going to say?
They're going to say there was a running back in the area. McGriff was about 5 to 10 yards away, but they're going to say he got it off in time.
So how many times we've used our halftime profiles, and that person has come out and responded. Tim Suave almost with a sack there, but it forces the quick incompletion. It'll be a quick three and out for Clarion.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Rock defense needed, to just hold Clarion. Now you get the offense back on the field. Maybe you can make this game a little bit further apart.
Eric Glover-Williams stands at his 39, and he takes the kick, and he's going to grab it at his 38. And he goes straight up into the pile and is dropped at the 44-yard line. So that'll be a gain of five.
All right, so again, Rock coming out with fairly good field position. You get it at your own 45-yard line. You had a really nice drive the last time around. I'd like to, again, establish the run a little bit more. We saw Clarion stop it a few times, but you can't flinch at just the defense stopping you once or twice. You have to be committed to it. And to me, Wes Hills is in a mood today. I think he's going to be able to break out of a small funk starting in the second half.
I like that. He's in a mood today. Wes Hills, big number 4 out of Wildwood, New Jersey, and he comes into the backfield, joins Roland Rivers' sidecar left, and he'll take the handoff, and he's going to kick it to the outside, and he's running with a head of steam. He avoids tripping, and he's going to be pushed forward for the first down. He's going to pick up at least 11. Looked like he was going to be tripped back at the 50, and he held on to his wherewithal and kept going forward.
Man, his ability to stay and make plays last a little bit longer. He keeps plays alive. You know, normal running backs, they go down at the first hit of contact that we saw Wes Hills take in the backfield. Not number four. Keeps the legs moving, great balance, and is able to pick up a first down.
He picks up 18 on that play. Now he's going to kick it to the outside again. He's going to pick up a good solid four before he goes out of bounds. And that'll set up a second and about six.
Did we see a flag come in? I think so.
If it was, it was on the far sideline.
It's on the sideline. Let's see. Could be a holding.
Here comes the call.
Holding, number 88, offense.
And that's A.J. Alexander, Armas Alexander, caught with the hold for the Rocks, and that's going to bring that play back.
That's a tough one because you're looking at what would have been a second down and five. Now you're going back to the 50-yard line, actually 49-yard line. And so now you're looking at a first down and 20. That's a tough break, and, you know, from the angle we saw, we didn't really see where that holding happened, but obviously it was on the edge. Wilson Hills, by the way, having to bounce a few of these to the outside.
Now pass play. Roland Rivers throwing downfield has Henry Littner. I'm sorry, Carnell Harley, and he just misses him by about 2 yards too far, incomplete.
I like the chance there. You had Harley, who obviously has the size advantage defensively. He's going up against Sam Fieri, and you had a ball a little bit overthrown. Nice coverage by the cornerback for Clarion, but I like the idea, the one-on-one with the tall guy. Give it a chance.
Wes Hills now 13 carries for 122 yards and a touchdown today. For the Rock, Roland Rivers now 9 of 15, 115 yards in the air. He's rushed six times for 47 yards. He's going to look to throw again. Here comes the pressure, but he gets rid of it. Coming back for the ball is Mike Merhot, and he holds on to it this time, but it's going to be short of the first down as he caught it right about the 40 and was brought down immediately.
But now it gets you into third and manageable. And you can. I'm just always amazed by Roland Rivers' arm strength. And we saw that at times with Tanner Gary last year where this ball's coming out off of his arm are different than others. And this ball had some zip, a nice 20-yard. I mean, honestly, from where he threw it to where it was caught, it was probably about a 20-yard pass.
And he gets it to the 40-yard line. It'll be third and seven. Now here's a screen pass. Wes Hills goes out for it. He's got blocking up front, but that blocking gets blown up quick, and he's actually going to lose 2 yards on that play.
Bob, I got to tell you, I just don't like that call. You're starting that play with Wes Hills in the backfield 4 yards deep, and you're trying to get 6-7 yards there. I'd prefer to have some routes designed to get receivers to the chains. Those are going to be your first targets, and then maybe have Wes Hills come out of the backfield for a check down. I understand it in theory. I'm just not a big fan of it in that particular case.
So it'll be a punting situation for the Rock. Jake Chapla is on. Back deep is Johnson, for Clarion, standing at his 10. Here comes the punt from Chapla, and he hits it high, and he's going to have to fair catch it. No, he didn't. He didn't wave.
Wow.
He didn't wave. He caught it and tried to escape, but Eric Glover-Williams was right there to drop him at about the 12-yard line. That was a dangerous move by Johnson.
Yeah, smart play, though, by Glover-Williams. He didn't hear a whistle and continued to play, and that's not a bad idea. There was actually a play a few weeks ago in college football where I think it was Arkansas State, something bizarre like that. The return man caught it, waited for a little bit, no whistle, and then he bolted off for a touchdown. So you have to be able, again, it's cliche, but you've got to play until you hear a whistle. Glover Williams did a nice job there.
So Clarion will start out first and 10 at their own 12. Or actually, they spotted that at the 13. And here comes Clemens. And this time he does bring McGriff out as a sidecar right. And a late substitution goes to the top side at wide receiver. That's Cassiel Webster. And a handoff inside by McGriff, and he's pushing that pile a long way sideways, but they only gain a yard.
Yeah, McGriff has had to earn his 15 yards that he's had on the ground today. I mean, he's going in there meeting a bunch of white jerseys, and he is just trying to get anything he can. Give credit to the front four, really the front seven for the Rock. They've done a nice job of just completely eliminating McGriff from the run game today. Actually, the run game in general.
Second and nine from the 14 for Clarion. 9:12 mark of the third quarter. The Rock leading 21-10. Double receivers split near side. They've got a tight end into the game. Now they put him in motion. He goes to the top side near the Rock sideline, and that's where Clemens is looking, and here comes the pressure. He's got to get rid of it early, and it's a quarterback hurry, incomplete. But, boy, they were swarming in the backfield. Trey Blanford was back there. And Tim Vernick, I think, got in there late.
Yeah, just sending the front four, getting after Clemens. And I'll give Jeff Clemens credit for getting that ball off. He actually had a wide receiver in the vicinity. And, you know, if he had some time, the guy was open. But he avoids a sack. And now, instead of a third down and 14, you're probably looking at a third and nine.
And that was actually not Tim Vernick. It was Chad Kuhn. They have similar numbers, 46-45, and at the distance, it was hard to see the wrinkle in the shirt, but it was Chad Kuhn. We'll give him props for that. Third and nine now for the Golden Eagles. They're going to spread three receivers to the near side, and it's going to be a keeper. And here's Clemens. He had two big runs early. Oh, he's hit, popped, and he drops the ball. And as a result, he's going to lose the first down. He looked like he was right at the first down marker, and he took a shot, lost the ball. They're going to recover it, but it's going to be a yard shy if they spot it correctly.
Who came in and delivered that blow? Was it Dalton Holt? I think it was. Holy cow, was that a hit. Clemens avoided the first tackle, and 22 just came in and delivered a blow. Helmet right on the ball, forced that ball loose, and actually...
Oh, they spotted it right at the marker. They're going to give him a first down. A nine-yard carry is what he needed, and he got it. First down, move the chains. Ball out to the 23-yard line. First down, carry. Here's McGriff. Oh, he almost breaks a tackle there, gets rolled up. After about 3 yards, maybe four, I'll give him four at the moment.
But going back to, let's go back to that second down and nine play whenever the Rock got pressure on Clemens. For him to get rid of that ball, that allowed them on third and nine to go to that option play that we saw earlier in the game. That was one of their bigger runs of the day. Chris Weibel deciding that's where they wanted to go to on a third down and nine. Smart play call, and obviously a little bit of luck, too, on it by recovering that football.
Well, he's had three rushes for nothing, but three rushes have helped out the cause.
Yards, yeah.
Six carries, 33 yards for Clemens, the quarterback, and those rushes have been right up the middle. Now he's going to play action fake, drops back, throws it downfield. This could be picked off by Mark Carter. It is! He goes up and pulls it in. He's got the interception. And now we've got a side judge coming over, or a linesman coming over and saying, no, he did not come down with it. The field judge is behind him. The line judge saw it, and he says he dropped it.
And I think we have a flag here as well. Actually, there may be a defensive hold on the Rock. There was a hitch-and-go route, and I miss who the defender was, but they were trying to target Holton, and I wouldn't surprise me if they got one of the Rock defenders for grabbing a jersey.
Here comes the call.
Holding number seven, deep breath.
Kyle Hall, you called it, Tyler. He's called on the hold, so this is going to give an automatic first down to Clarion. So back-to-back scenarios where the Golden Eagles have been able to move the chains. A rush up the middle by quarterback Clemens, and now the penalty on Kyle Hall.
And actually, if the hold didn't happen, that was the target. It was open, and I think that's why. It was a justifiable flag. May not have been a bad one because Hall got bit hard. He came in on the pump fake from Clemens, and that means Holton was going to be over the top. So that at least eliminated that idea.
And now here's play action fake, and he's going to dump it over the middle. And is it caught? No. Or did he grab it? No, it's incomplete.
Yeah, incomplete pass. But the pressure they dialed up is Clemens is just a little bit. He's walking gingerly, which he wasn't thrown to the ground. I was just curious. You had Tim Vernick flying up the middle. That forced an early throw from Clemens, and he's hobbling. So we'll keep our eye on that. But the Rock deciding to dial up the pressure on first down, and they came at him like a madman.
Devin Clark is in the backfield now, running back out of Dubois. He'll be sidecar right. They put... tight end in motion. Here's the snap, and it's going to be Clark, and he goes into the pile, and it's going nowhere. This is going to be another tackle for a loss. He's going to be dropped backward by 2 yards, almost three, back to the 36-yard line. That'll be a loss of two.
As a defensive coordinator, especially you've got some guys up top in the press box, they're seeing Clemens be a little ginger after that first down play, and so you're feeling if you're going to place a bet on it, they're going to run the ball. And so the Rock's selling out on the run, and obviously they were able to pull him back for a loss, now leaving Clarion with a third down and lengthy situation.
Yeah, it's going to be third down and 12. They'll bring McGriff back in the backfield now. He'll be sidecar left to Clemens. They have trip receivers near side, and they're going to put the man in motion. That's McGriff going up into the slot. Five receiver set. Empty backfield. Throw across the middle. It's caught. It's pulled in by number 81, Mark Lewis II. He's going to be near the first down marker, but shy by about two.
And here's an interesting decision for Weibel. Third quarter, 6 minutes to go. You're near midfield. You'd need 1 yard. What are you doing?
It looks like he is going to go for it, Tyler Friel. Fourth and a yard. Nope. Now they're going to change it out. Here comes the punting team. So a moment show, and then they decide to switch it out. And they will go to the punting situation. And on the field comes Eric Glover-Williams for the Rock. So the Rock going to force the punting situation here, leading 21-10. We're at the six-minute mark of the third quarter. The skies are starting to darken. Here comes the snap. And here comes the kick. It's straight up into the air. Glover-Williams going to chase it, but it's going to kick at the 20 and go out of bounds at the 16-yard line. That's where Slippery Rock will start out, first and 10. 5:45 to go in the third quarter.
Man, those are tough decisions, you know, for Chris Weibel or any head coach. You go back and forth. Again, you're trailing by 11, 21-10. Still a lot of ball game left. Almost 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. So you're relying on your defense. That's sending a message to your defense saying, hey, I believe in you guys. I trust you. We need a stop. I'm not going for it because we think we can get a stop. So he's now applied the pressure to his defense as opposed to leaving his offense out there. We'll see if it works out for the head coach.
And here comes the Rock offense once again. And Roland Rivers out with Wes Hills. They're going to do the pitch play. He's going to stretch it. Now he pitches it late. And Wes Hills has some running room. He's pulled out of bounds, but he's going to get a first down on the carry. And Wes Hills gets that ball from Roland Rivers so late that it set up the first down carry.
Honestly, I mean, Rivers was probably 5-6 yards down the field before he decided to toss it. He just simply beat the defensive end off the ball, and so he had the speed advantage. And Wes Hills, give him credit, he was staying with Rivers in that lateral area where he still gave his quarterback the option to toss it back. And as you mentioned, that helped pick up the first down.
He gets 12 yards. Now they're going to switch sides and go screen pass to Wes Hills. And he's going to pile it up again to the pylon, get another 10 yards, go goes out of bounds, shy of the 40, at about the 39-yard line, and he'll pick up 11.
And that play is the offensive coordinator believing that his wide receivers will be able to hold their blocks. They went trips to the high side of the field to send Wes Hills out and said, all right, let's see if we can block him. And that's one thing that this Rock wide receiving core has done so well this year is blocking and blocking.
Now they'll hand it off up the middle, goes Wes Hills, and he's going to scamper for another 9. I think his knee hit shy of the first down. It did, but he carries it right up the gut for 9. So on this drive, Wes Hills has rushed for 12, caught a ball for 10, and now rushes up the gut for 8, maybe 9.
It's plays like these now where I get greedy. Second down and short, you know, you have an opportunity. If it doesn't hit, I always like taking a shot down the field here.
Now they're going to put him in motion again to the near side, and he pumps the fake to the screen and throws downfield. Henry Linton wide open, and he can't get it to him. He led him by 2 yards too quick again. And again, that scenario, Tyler, the wind is at their back. That wind might have carried that ball just enough to keep it out of the hands of number 11.
Strong throw. Love the play call. You send Wes Hills out. You've been feeding him the whole drive. You had a quarterback bite on the fake, a little pump fake from Roland Rivers. Left you with one-on-one. Henry Litwin over top. Now, Litwin's not the fastest guy on the field, and maybe you just had a judgment and error there, or maybe, as you mentioned, the wind playing a factor either. But they had an open guy.
Third and one, and it's a handoff, Wes Hills. He's got the first down. He's across midfield into Clarion territory, down to almost the 47, and that's where they're going to spot it. So he changes the direction from the 47 of the Rock to the 47 of Clarion.
And that's why I love that second down call. You've got a reliable running back in Wes Hills in the backfield. You'll be able to pick up 1 yard, even if you have to do it twice. So you might as well take a shot down the field, see if you can get a big play out of it. It's not going to hurt you, as that proved right there.
Clock turning to 4:20. Snap to Rivers. He play actions. Now he pumps. Now he throws all in and out of the hands of Litwin. He tried to hit him on the thread, the needle, and it almost looked like it was thrown just a pinch behind him, and it's incomplete.
Yeah, you had a Clarion defender on the front four there jump up into the face of Roland Rivers, who that initially shut down the first look on that. Rivers decides to hold and then go back to Litwin. Dangerous pass as he was trying to throw it through a number of Clarion hands. You had a Golden Eagle get a hand on it, tip it. Luckily, no interception, so a break for Slippery Rock. But Roland Rivers maybe next time will just opt to keep the ball.
Second and 10 from the Clarion 47 for the Rock. Here's the snap. Rivers drops back. Good pickup protection by Wes Hills. And
did he catch that?
Caught by Austin Scott and then taken away by one of the Clarion defenders. And I'm trying to grab the number.
He came in number four.
Yeah, number four. That is Dorian Johnson. Austin Scott caught it and immediately had it stripped out of his hand for a Clarion interception, and that's the second Clarion interception this half.
Man, that's an unfortunate break for the Rock and a heck of a play by Dorian Johnson. I don't even know how he came away with it. As like you mentioned, Austin Scott seemed like he caught the ball, and then all of a sudden you look up, and there's number four with Clarion, number four from Clarion, and he's got the football.
So Austin Scott with his, second mistake of the day now, and it sets up Clarion first and 10 at the 37-yard line in their own territory, but they hold off a Rock drive, and it's going to be a handoff. And Clemens goes to McGriff, and it goes for maybe an inch.
We talked earlier about Chris Weibel believing in his defense. That's why he opted to punt the football. And so his defense showing why Weibel decided to make that decision. At some point, the offense has to get something going. Defense has really provided them with their 7 points after the big interception to start the second half. Outside of that, Clarion hasn't really been able to move the football since the first drive of the game.
This is no gain. They spotted it back, and it's second and 10 after McGriff goes for zero, and they play action now. Clemens drops back. Here comes the pressure. He's got a scramble. He's got some running room. He'll slide across the 40 to pick up three, but it'll be third down and 7.
Interesting that the pass patterns there didn't give Clemens any check down options. All of them were about 15-yard routes, and they were covered well by Slippery Rock, so whenever the pressure collapsed, Clemens' only option was to run the football. And granted, he got some positive yards, but you would think on play design like that, he would have an option where he could just check down for a quick pass if that pressure came.
Third and 7 from the 40-yard line of Clarion, the Golden Eagles with the ball. It'll be a sidecar right for Clemens in the shotgun. Now he'll send that sidecar McGriff into the slot. And here's a pass inside, and it's well defended by Brad Zaffram, and it's incomplete. The ball was intended for McGriff, but it's going to be a punting situation. There was no flag. I think McGriff wanted a flag there, but didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, Brad Zaffram timing that out perfectly. Again, that's the look they want. Send McGriff out of the backfield into the slot so you get the one-on-one between the running back and the wide receiver as we have a late flag come down here.
And this might be a sideline infraction by Clarion. It looked like, I don't know if that's Chris Weibel or not, but he was barking off the sideline. And there were a couple of Rock players over there. Let's see how they read this.
Number 53 of the offense, also unsportsmanlike conduct. Number 18 of the defense. That's the first unsportsmanlike on both players.
So they're going to give him offsetting penalties, which makes sense.
Fourth down.
And nonetheless, it'll remain a punting situation. So Jermaine Wynn will be back deep. He's going to be standing at around his 26 to receive the punt at the 2:47 mark of the third quarter. Again, it's 21-10 in favor of the Rock.
That's got to be a false start.
And it is a false start. Here comes the flag, and then they'll move it back. So Jermaine Wynn will step up closer to his 30, 31-yard line.
But going back to that third down play, I mean, you've got to give Brad Zaffram a lot of credit because, again, that's the matchup they want, the athletic running back against a, I don't want to say unathletic linebacker, but, you know, who's going to win the 40 race? It's going to be McGriff, and so that's what they want. But Brad Zaffram staying with him, timing it out where he was able to swat that ball away, that's when you really tip your cap to the defender and say, hey, nice job.
And two times now we've had interceptions that have been picked off in the second half here, but only one is going to affect the team. And here's a fair catch called for by Wynn as he pulls it in at his 34-yard line. So the Rock avoiding allowing any points on the turnover, which was a strip of Austin Scott by Dorian Johnson. And the Rock going to start out first and 10 here at the 2:40 mark of the third quarter at about their 34.
Yeah, the way the Slippery Rock defense is playing right now, along with how they're handling Clarion's offense, Bob, you think a touchdown here, you're feeling pretty good about it. 18-point lead, maybe going into the fourth quarter. It's a big possession because I think the Rock could really do some damage and get some momentum going into the fourth.
So first and 10, Wes Hills out along with Roland Rivers. Double receiver split near side. It's a handoff Hills. He goes into the pile across the 35 to the 36 near the 37. He'll pick up three on that carry.
And that's a nice first down play. Halfback dive, you pick up 2-3 yards. I had an old football coach say, hey, you gain 2-3 yards every football play, you're going to win every game because you're going to pick up first downs. It's a small way to get things started on first down, but any positive yards, especially about 3 yards, is great.
Carnell Harley will replace Austin Scott at wide receiver, And now it's a handoff inside, but Wes Hills decides to tuck it outside and avoids a tackle and manages to get a couple of yards. As that was well sniffed out by the Clarion defense, but he does push it forward for 2 yards.
It's amazing.
To the 39.
The fact that he can just shift his body to make one man miss means it was a difference between a loss of two and a gain of two, and it's small things like that throughout the game that Wes Hills does that makes him a little bit better than everybody else. He just has that uncanny ability to make the right move at the right time.
It'll be third and five from the 39. Hills will go in motion. Here's Rivers. He looks to fake the screen. Now he's going to have to keep it. Here comes pressure. He's going to roll around away from it. Picks up a block. Still on his feet. Now he's going to run forward, and he's going to pick up a first down.
Wow.
Number 14 all over the place, and they should be blowing the whistle here. And he's dropped down at about the 47, but Roland Rivers was in deep trouble, and he just rolled himself out of it.
Yeah, they tried to go with a hitch-and-go route. We saw it earlier as we have a Clarion defender down on the field.
Actually got two of them down at the end of that play. They just might be gassed after that one. Wow.
They tried the hitch-and-go. Roland Rivers, feeling pressure, moves to his left as he's trying to look down the field to throw. Clarion coming after him. He decides to just wheel back around, come back to the middle of the field, and saw a small little opening up the gut. And so he just turns the burners on, picks up the first down. That's just an athletic play from an athletic quarterback.
Boy, he ran probably, if you would compute that, probably about 20, 23 yards to get eight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's out to the 47. We do have a Clarion player down, so the clock stops here at a minute 25 of the third quarter. And he's down pretty flat at the moment. Let's take a 30-second timeout. We'll be back with the injury timeout. When we return, The Rock moves on here with a first and 10 near midfield. Well, let's see. I think he's going to get up now. Let's just keep it here for the moment. It looks like it might
at least
be going
over
a little quicker.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't moving there for a while.
No.
And now he's upright.
So the clock stops as it's getting very dark to the right side of the field. And we talked about the forecast saying that rain could be possible somewhere around 2 o'clock. We have gorgeous blue skies to our left, but it's very, very dark right now. Saw some wind move in here right about the start of the half. And looks like we might start to see some precip, so it would be nice to get a drive put together here and finish this off.
And that's a huge play by Roland Rivers to pick up the first down. I mean, especially if he goes down with a sack somewhere back there, then you're looking at a drive that's just shot. Now his ability to extend and make plays happen, those are the intangibles that quarterbacks have that you're like, man, that's fun stuff to watch, and that's a heck of a play.
Brandon Vacco, defensive lineman from Portage, out route 422 is up and off under his own power. First and 10 carry, Wes Hills breaks a tackle. Now he's going to be wrapped up as he crosses the 50 down to the 48. And he translates the field from Rock territory to Clarion territory.
Well, the Rock taking a look and going, Vacco, okay, he's the nose tackle. Let's go after his spot. I mean, that guy's 6'1", 300 pounds, so he takes up a lot of area. The backup, he's a big dude as well. Desmond Johnson, 6'2", 290, but hey, that 10 pounds may have allowed him to get into a little bit of a gap and pick up some positive yards.
Now it's a quick snap with just under a minute to play in the third quarter, and Wes Hill's going to go for 1 yard on this one. And it's just kind of a ground-and-pound mentality right now for The Rock as they have carried the ball all five plays of this particular series. And now they'll set up a third and five from the 47-yard line as the clock now turns under 30 seconds. They'll have to snap it here. They won't be able to run out.
That's what it looks like. There's about
that. Wait a minute. No, there's 24 on the play clock. They might be able to just let this run out.
I think they're going to run a play.
We've got 15 seconds on the play clock, 14 on the actual clock, and they are going to run it. Here comes a little play fake. They're faking the screen, and Roland Rivers grabs it and goes forward. He needed five. He got six for the first down, and that'll spin the clock. Actually, with the moving of the chains, it'll stop it at 6 seconds, but he picked up six, and that moves the ball down to the 41-yard line. So the Rock moving on here, and that'll wind the clock down to end the third quarter. So 21-10 through three, and the Rock moving, trying to wind this game down and set up a huge game for next week. We'll be back with our fourth quarter of action. Rock football returning in a moment on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Did you hit a deer, or did a deer hit you, or did you hit something else trying to miss a deer? No matter how it happened, keep Lutz Automotive in mind for your vehicle repairs. Located 1 mile north of Branchton Road on Route 8 in Slippery Rock, Mark and Jared handle mechanical, collision, and bodywork, along with minor repairs, too. They're also great at VW and Subaru timing chains. So for everything automotive, trust Lutz Automotive. Call them today, 724-794-2255.
Tell you what.
Share Roofing and Construction provides residential services for both new and existing construction.
Right,
from roof, siding, and gutter repair, replacement, maintenance, and cleaning, to full builds on decks, sheds, garages, barns, and pole buildings. Share has you covered. Locally owned, Share Roofing and Construction is fully insured and provides free estimates. They offer veteran and active military discounts too. Share Roofing and Construction. That's SHARRER. Route 8, Slippery Rock, 724-967-6860. And check them out on Facebook.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station, 97.7.
And very quickly out of the gate comes Roland Rivers on a play-action fake. They sent Mike Merhot in motion, and he play-actions downfield and hits Jermaine Wynn on a 41-yard touchdown reception. Wynn on the coverage beat his man by about a step, and it was enough for the touchdown.
Yeah, coming out of the quarter break, the Justin Rope, our offensive coordinator for Slippery Rock, decides to go for the jugular. Let's see if we can get that. As you mentioned, play action, get one-on-one, use your speed, and Jermaine Wynn, we've seen him be able to beat defenders before. He does it right there. Nicely thrown ball, too, by Roland Rivers.
Here's the extra point try. It's a high snap pulled down by Mike Merhot, but the streak continues for Jake Chapla as he puts it through. 41-yard touchdown pass. Jermaine Wynn pulls it in from Roland Rivers, and the Rock has now extended their lead to 28-14 at the beginning of the fourth quarter here. What a big, big play that was. As we start to see skies really darken, it looks like the rain is about ready to move in.
Yep, and couldn't have picked a better time to open this thing up than to an 18-point game, because Clarion's going to have to go to the air. It says they've had limited success with it, some checkdowns, but they really haven't been able to get the big play done through the air. Now you're trailing by 18 in the final quarter. The run game hasn't been working for you. This is going to be an air-and-out offense from Chris Weibel and Jeff Clemens for the Golden Eagles. We'll see if they can try to make something happen, but the Rock going for the throat right there, and they're coming away with a big 18-point lead now.
Now, a bit of concern for Slippery Rock. At the end of that play, I saw Steve Caviglia being helped off the field, the second team all preseason All-America. He was being helped off the field by one of his teammates, gingerly walking. Now, I see him standing on the sideline. He's not getting any treatment, but boy, that scares you for a moment there, because this Rock offensive line has been pretty doggone good, and he's one of those keys.
Absolutely.
So Clarion going to get the ball back here, 14:51 mark of the third quarter, or fourth quarter, I'm sorry. We just switched from the third to the fourth, and the Rock hit that big play. So one play into the fourth, and it's 28-10. Here comes the boot from Jake Chapla. And it's going to go to the two-yard line. They're just going to kick it, let it kick through the end zone and take it at the 25. Clarion had no interest in returning that one at all.
No, and small areas of concern were, you know, how well would – actually, not small. They were big areas of concern for the Slippery Rock kickoff unit. How well were they going to do? I thought they've come out here and played a very good game, special team-wise, with the kickoff. And a few touchbacks by Jake Chapla doesn't hurt anything.
Well, you know, and part of it, I think it might have been strategy last week, because it looked like they were trying to keep
the
ball away from Kyle Gaelic
of
Edinburgh. So they were squibbing it a lot more. Now Jake's just booting it to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
First and 10, Clarion. They'll start out at their own 25. McGriff will go in motion and go into the slot. Obviously a passing situation now for Clemens. Here comes the pressure. He's going to scramble, and he's going to be hit from behind, but he dives forward. And here comes a late flag. They're going to get Timmy Vernick for jumping on his head at the end of the play as Clemens scrambled across the 25 to the 27. Picks up a couple, but this is going to be a first down.
And it's tough. I understand why, you know, that flag's there as Clemens is down, and that's case in point why it's there. But I don't think there was any ill intent from Tim Vernick. You see a guy running in the open field. He's trying to extend a play by slipping out of a tackle, and Tim Vernick's there right as Clemens is going to the ground. Again, sometimes football plays happen. It was a justifiable flag, you know, being thrown, but it tough break for everyone involved there.
Yeah, the backup is Javonte Sheard, and he has played, in fact, started a game, I believe, earlier this year for Clarion, so he's an experienced backup. He's getting loose right away. And they're going to nail Timmy Vernick for the personal foul. And Clemens still down on the field right now. Looks like he's going to try to get up under his own power. Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're trying to make sure he's down, but you hit him up high, and they are protecting quarterbacks in that fashion. Not that it's the NFL by any stretch. But,
no. I mean, like I said, I understand the flag, and obviously Clemens being down here shows why that rule is in place. But there's sometimes things that happen in football games that you just can't prevent, and that's what happened there with Tim Vernick, trying to make a tackle, and he just hit a guy at a bad angle at a bad time.
The junior from Wexford is Jeff Clemens, went to North Allegheny High School, and that'll move the ball toward midfield now for Clarion at the 14:44 mark of the fourth quarter. 28-10, the score, the Rock leading. But make it a first down now to the 43-yard line of the Golden Eagles.
Well, we'll see what the new quarterback does. Seared, haven't seen him throw. What different aspect? Because on the depth chart, Bob, I mean, they have Javonte Seared or Jeff Clemens. So obviously Seared has seen playing time before.
From Hyattsville, Maryland. He's a junior, 6 foot, 170-pounder. And he'll go into the pistol formation in front of Malik McGriff. And here comes the snap, and he'll hand it off to McGriff. McGriff goes into the pile right to the line of scrimmage and gains one.
Judging just off that first play, looks like Seared is more of an option-type quarterback as he sprinted out on the right side. So, again, now you just have to be able to check, okay, who's got the ball. Make sure you're putting a spy on Seared. Don't know what this throwing offense is going to look like, but his speed could present some difficulties for the Rock defense.
So second and nine. Near side is Khalil Webster, big 6'5", 190-pound sophomore wide receiver. Surprised they haven't tried to link up with him a lot more. Now they may. Here's Seared, drops back, throws across the middle. It's pulled in and caught. On the defense is Kyle Hall. He's going to bring him down, but not before it is a first down. That's number 17, Dana Jackson, and he moves into Rock territory.
Now there you go, Seared having to make his first throw of the game, and he hits up Jackson on a nice in route. It was good time, a little bit behind, but put through a catchable ball that Jackson was able to reel in. So Seared coming in, showing a different look for Clarion, and they hit a big play.
Just 20-plus yards there, but it moves it into Rock territory. Down to the 37. McGriff will be sidecar left for Seared. And here's the snap. It's a low snap. It goes behind him, and he's going to have to track it down and just dive on it, but it's going to be diving him back into his own territory at the 48.
Boy, those are frustrating for head coaches or any type of coach, even the players themselves. He hit for a big play, 20-some odd yards, and then you just move way back, making this almost an impossible series here.
So now going to be second and forever, second and 25, actually, for Clarion. So bad snap on the play. The center, actually from Nock High School, Mark Kronenberg. Just didn't get a handle on that.
And he's
that
been
one.
Clean all day.
He really has. Been playing well. But that one hurts. Now they put the tight end in motion. And here comes the snap to Seared. He looks downfield. Here comes pressure. But he gets it off, dumps it off, right into the hands of Jackson, but it was just a pinch behind him, and he couldn't hold on.
Yeah, and Jackson's dropped a few of those, but when you're running full sprint across the field, you need that ball to be thrown in front of you because you're trying to pick up some extra yards, and Seared just was a little bit behind on that. Had some hands in his face, but that's a pass you got to make because when you're looking at a second down and 25, you need to chip into that yardage somehow, and now you're looking at a third and 25.
That's what the flag shows, third down now at the 12:48 mark of the fourth quarter. And here is the snap to Seared. He's in the shotgun. Takes it, drops back. Has some time now. He's being chased, and he's going to be caught by Chad Kuhn from behind.
Stun on the right side. Chad Kuhn starting on the outside, bounces to the inside, and he was left unaccounted for. He had a clean look at Seared, uses his athleticism to bring it down. Just a simple move on the right side, miscommunication from the left side of the line for Clarion. That allowed Kuhn to get in there absolutely untouched.
Chad Kuhn had a half tackle for a loss so far today. Now you can put a sack up on the board.
And now Seared is walking off injured.
Back deep, Jermaine Wynn. He'll stand at around his 21-yard line waiting the punt. Here's the kick coming right at him. He's going to chase it down, backing up to the 18. Pulls it in. Now he's going to try to cut it upfield. 25, breaks a tackle, 30, and is brought down at about the 33.
Well, this could be one of those long, hopefully long, sustaining drives for the Rock. You get Wes Hills in the backfield, and you just stick to the ground game. See what will happen. You've been able to dominate it there all day today. And I think you just rely on number four here to put this game away.
28-10, the score. The Rock going to take back over. And this will be their first series. Well, I can't say that because there was one play to open the fourth quarter. So our first full series of the fourth quarter. Jermaine Wynn with a 41-yard touchdown reception to start the quarter from Roland Rivers. And here we go. Wes Hills, sidecar to the right of Roland Rivers. He's got trip receivers to the right. Now he's going to screen it to the outside. It's Jermaine Wynn. He's got it at the 35. Hits up across the 40 to the 42, and he's dropped just shy of the first down. He'll pick up 9.
Again, Roper's confidence in his wide receivers to make blocks are why plays like that can happen. You know, when you're working with just one-on-one coverage, get it out to the receiver. Allow him to make a play, especially if you've got some blocking out there.
Second and one. The ball at the 42-yard line of Slippery Rock. Let's see if they go deep here. Trip receivers split top now. Nope, they're going to do the handoff to Wes Hills and just get the first down, pound it toward midfield. Oh, he fumbled the ball as he was spun around, and maybe Clarion got it. It certainly looks like it. He got spun around and just lost the handle, and it's going to be Clarion ball. So a fumble, and all of a sudden, we were bragging about the lack of turnovers at halftime, and you can pin that on us, apparently, because Wes Hills has fumbled.
And sometimes whenever you're keeping the legs moving, you spin around and you don't see a defender and that ball can get jarred loose. When you're working with an 18-point lead, it's all about ball security. You picked up the first down. Anything after that is gravy. Just focus on holding on to the ball. And I understand it's tough to take away that competitive nature in guys, but situational football there dictates just go down.
Now we're going to see Tanner Jones, a true freshman from West Potomac, Alexandria, Virginia, into the game as Seard, as you said, went off hobbling. He's going to go quick play action and try to throw. Now he's going to have to pull it down. He's knocked backward and escapes. He's on his feet, and he's going to run out of bounds, and he's going to be shoved at the last moment with a late flag coming from Brad Zafferman. You're going to attack more onto it. What a nice move, though, by Tanner Jones to get out of that. It looked like it was doomsday for him. He scrambles out of it and gets positive yardage, and now it's going to move it deeper down. So hold on, folks. This game not over.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel type. He's not the tallest guy. I think 6 foot might be a bit generous. And he's bouncing around in the backfield, took off running, and was able to draw the penalty, which was... questionable.
Yeah, I might disagree.
And it was.
With you.
You think it was late?
Yeah, I mean it wasn't blatant, but it
maybe
was,
that's what I was
it
more
was,
looking
it
at.
It was up to the discretion, and I'm.
You're all
as
right,
soon
then.
As I saw it, I thought he was going to be called for it. It just was unnecessary.
Yeah.
He was blatantly going out of bounds. So, and they're going to call that every time to
it
protect the quarterback.
Sense.
So it moves him down inside the 35 to the 33, first and 10. So the young man in, true freshman, in at quarterback. McGriff is his sidecar, and they've jumped the Rock off sides. He's got a free play. This one's going to be thrown downfield incomplete.
I think they waved this dead early. That's why the wide receiver stopped on the route, because they actually had the one-on-one. So if it wasn't blown dead early, yeah, I think so.
And all of a sudden, the penalty's starting to add up for the Rock.
It's been a problem all year.
Yeah, and you can't continue to do this and have further success down the road.
Offside, defense, number 52. 5-yard penalty, go first down.
And they obviously rushed somebody.
You're seeing officials, though, now, I think, try to get in front of these calls. There was always an old-school type of thought that they would want these plays to just happen and give the offense a little bit of benefit. Now you're starting to see, if you watch football a little bit more, they're just trying to call these neutral zone infractions early to prevent, again, player safety.
So here we go now with the play action and downfield and a lot of shoving, and we've got a flag probably on the Rock, but Dalton Holt has picked it off. There was some shoving downfield. The ball was thrown way short. But let's see how this is playing out here as far as what the flag means, because this may negate things.
Yeah, you wonder if this is going to be pass interference against Slippery Rock.
And that one just thrown up for grabs.
Yeah. Not a good throw.
And the young freshman just exuberant with his opportunity.
Defense, number 19,
Yeah, they're going to call Eric Glover Williams on that. So that's going to give Clarion another first down.
But here we look. Personal foul penalty, offsides, and now pass interference. So Clarion is staying in this game based on three penalties. You have to be better on defense when it comes to making these plays, because you've got a true freshman quarterback in there who's trying to rally Clarion back into this football game. If you're playing straight up defense, everything that I've known about football means you should win this game. But when you're committing penalties like this all the time, that's going to stop you from doing it.
It's going to move the ball inside the 15 to the 13. It'll be first and 10 Clarion. 10:32 mark of the fourth quarter. They're up 28-10 on the Rock. Play action fake. He's looking inside. Now he throws it out and too high and in and out of the hands of Kyle Hall, who was actually behind the receiver. He had a better shot but couldn't hold on.
Lands in the sand pit on part of the track here in the back of the end zone. Kind of impressed, though, with Tanner Jones' arm strength on that pass. It's not an easy throw by any means. We're running a post route to the back of the end zone, and he put a little mustard on it, just overthrew his target.
We've seen quite a few recruits come in from Maryland and now here Virginia for Clarion. They must have a little bit of a pipeline connection from there. McGriff will be sidecar left. They've got trip receivers up the top side. And let's see where they go here on second and 10. Low snap, and he lost it. He picks it up, though, and now he's going to have to run away and get rid of the ball. And it's incomplete as he is hit by Chad Kuhn late at the end of that play, but he got rid of it just before, not as far as penalty late, just as he was getting rid of it. And it'll be third and 10.
Well, good pressure, but again, another snap issue here. And it's really just started to happen in the last few plays, a low snap that Jones had to go down and pull out. And then that obviously threw the whole play just lost the whole play. So he rolls to his right, see if there was anything he could make happen, and opts just to throw it away.
Boy, as dark as it got there, it seems like it's continuing to shove off to the south of the stadium. We actually have the sun back out here at Memorial Stadium. Here's third and 10. Man in motion goes number 81, Mark Lewis II. Here comes the pressure, and he's going to fumble it. He was going to be hit and sacked, and he fumbled it and is rolling toward the sideline. I don't know if Slippery Rock got it. They did. They got there in time.
Wow. Love the call from Dom Rosano. Dials up the blitz, bringing pressure off the left side, and there was not a soul around to stop those white jerseys. That forced Jones out of the pocket. He was trying to make a play, and then they were able to jar that ball loose. Great defensive play, great execution, and I love the call. Dial up the pressure on the freshman.
And so the Rock going to take back over now, first and 10 at their own 26-yard line. 10-11 mark of the fourth quarter now. And here comes Roland Rivers. He'll come out actually this time with Jakar Berry. And we haven't seen a lot of rotation today.
No, it's been a lot of Wes Hills.
So a little break for Wes. Of course, he fumbled the last time out, so this might be, have a seat for a moment because you can't hold on to the ball. And he crosses the 31, does Jakar. And he's going to pick up almost 6 yards on that carry. It didn't look like that much, but he just kind of sneaked his way across to the 32-yard line.
It can take just one mistake in football to humble you, as Wes Hills has had one heck of a football game. And since Clarion, with no points after the turnover, it's really no harm, no foul. But for as great of a game that he had, a fumble there, coach is sending a message.
Here comes the pass play. Roland Rivers trying to thread the needle to Henry Litwin, but good work there by Corey Wells, defensive back from another Virginiaite. And it looked like he got a hand on that, Tyler, and knocked it away.
Maybe it was just me seeing this from green and white glasses. I thought he was all over him, but apparently he angled himself well, timed it out right, and knocked that ball away before it got there, as Litwin is asking for, the reasoning behind it with the line judge.
Third and 5 now for Slippery Rock. The double receivers each side. It's Carberry sidecar right. Here's the low snap. Rivers has a lot of time, though, and he hits his man. And that's A.J. Alexander. Aramis pulls it up. No, they say the line judge comes up again and says it's incomplete.
I think I saw that ball hit the ground. I'm all right with that. But what I don't understand about these play calls here, you ran it for about 6 yards on first down. You go to the air twice, back-to-back, so both result in incompletions. The clock is now stopped at 9:33. You're looking to kill clock on these drives, and after a nice offensive gain on first down through the ground, stick with it.
It'll be a 3-and-out. Be 4th and about 5, and here comes the punt from Jake Chaplin. It's a low. Whoa, he did not hit that. That's a rarity in the world of Jake Chaplin. It's going to bounce at the 50, kick out of bounds at about the 45-yard line. They're going to say 44. He's going to get a break. But
I think they're going to say 41, actually.
Oh, is it that far back?
Yeah,
that
thing took a weird roll. Yeah.
I thought it kicked out right about the 45, but it must have taken one more bounce. We have very rarely seen Jake Chaplin shank a punt. He shanked that one.
And again, just you have an opportunity to put Clarion away. You've had that opportunity since the beginning of the fourth quarter, 18-point game. They just haven't been able to get anything going offensively, or at least not having that closer drive, you know, where you go out there, you run the ball down the field, you get a touchdown, and you make this thing a runaway game.
Tanner Jones going to have to stay in the game for Clarion, so they're down to their third-string quarterback here today. And they'll bring McGriff out. He'll be in the shotgun sidecar right for Jones. And now they send him up into the slot, so it's an empty backfield. Takes the snap. Here comes pressure, but he dumps it off in and out of the hands of his intended receiver, and it is incomplete. The receiver was Mark Lewis II.
That's one you got to have. As your freshman quarterback's in the game and he throws one to you right on the money, you got to reel that thing in. You got to help the young man out by pulling in that catch.
Second and 10. Clarion trailing 28-10 here. Trying to take advantage of some rock miscues. Boy, if you're going to play a shaggy game like this, this is the week to play it, I guess, if you're up leading. There's almost a jump offside, so Jones threads the needle downfield, and he's got a big play to number 85, Devron Holton, who pulls it in, and he's going to be inside the red zone with that catch. Down to, where are they going to spot it here, to the 15, maybe inside.
I like the arm I've seen on Tanner Jones. I actually think he thought he had an offsides call there, which is maybe why he decided to go down the field. But as it turned out, they had one-on-one coverage over top. And as you mentioned, Holtman getting behind I believe it was Eric Glover-Williams on that play. And he was able to reel it in, but it was a super nice throw by Tanner Jones.
42 yards is the pass play down to the 15. Oh, a big hit late as...
Wow.
Jones got laid out after he throws the ball into the end zone, but incomplete. I don't think he had a receiver nearby, and he's going to walk over to the referee and say, no. He was just releasing it as he got popped.
Yeah, old Timmy Vernick coming up through the middle and just putting a hit on Tanner Jones. They've gotten after him a few times here in the very few minutes that Jones has been in the game.
As I check the official stat on that throw, it was for 43, not 42, down to 15, second and 10.
We won't hold that mistake against you, Bob.
I'm going to set the tight end in motion. Maverick, okay, he's actually a fullback. Here's a pass down to the far sideline, and closest to that is Brad Zaffram, the linebacker. He was trying to size it up and realized he was at the sideline, so he just let it go incomplete.
He's made throws where there are unbelievably strong throws, and then he has some jump balls that are just hanging up there that are... They're not well thrown, so he's been night and day. I understand he's a freshman, but sometimes you see it one way, and it's always that one way. But a few of these jump balls are just hanging up there a long time.
Well, Tanner Jones not shy, that's for sure.
No, I like it. This is what Clarion's offense needed, frankly, when you're down by 18, something that could get things jump-started.
Trip receivers to the near side on 3rd and 10. Here's the snap to Jones, and he's going to look to pitch it to McGriff. And McGriff has some running room, but he gets knocked out of bounds very quickly. As was that Zaffram that came over and knocked him out of bounds? Good pursuit that time. Forces him out at the 10-yard line, so he only picks up 5. It'll be 4th and 5.
Looks like they're going to send the field goal unit on. I guess it's an 18-point game. Get the points.
Well, you've got 8:44 on a turning clock. So this is going to be a 7-yard field goal attempt.
Yeah.
For Metzger, who did hit one earlier today. Here's the snap. It's a good, and it's headed toward the uprights, and it is through. So Clarion is going to take advantage this time of this particular drive, and they hit a 27-yard field goal to make it 28-13. We'll have the kickoff when we come back in 30 seconds. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station 97.7.
A rock-solid education is a critical step in achieving life's goals. Choose from programs that lead to exciting careers in health, science, engineering, technology, business, communication, education, or the performing arts. With over 150 undergraduate majors and 30 graduate programs, Slippery Rock University has been the best choice, first choice of students across the nation for 125 years. Slippery Rock University, experience the difference. Learn more about SRU's innovative, flexible, and affordable programs by visiting sru.edu.
I'm Kyle Hall, also known as OG, playing DB for Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football. Go Rock.
I'm Jake Chapla, kicker here at Slippery Rock, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
Five-play drive, 48 yards, and it equates to a 27-yard field goal for the Golden Eagles. They cut the Rock lead to 28-13 at the 8:27 mark of the game. And here comes the boot. It's going to be a short one taken by Alexander at his 27, and he's got some running room. Runs up across the 30 to the 35, 36.
Still moving.
He's moving, crawling forward to the 38, 39, now 40-yard line.
And he's a big frame. The Ohio State transfer has come in to plays tight end, 6'2", 252, redshirt junior. I know when you see plays like that, that's when coaches get excited when they see those big tight ends come into their program.
It's a time to really put a drive together here and finish this off.
Yep.
We were pleading for that on the last series, and the Rock hasn't done it. And I know that's something that Coach Lutz has said, we've got to play a 60-minute game. Well, they have left that on the table
when
a bit here today.
Yeah, when you have an opportunity to close out the game, you have to take advantage of it. And between some of the play calling and then a lack of execution, the Rock just hasn't been able to do it.
Now here's Roland Rivers. He's going to decide to keep it. He sent Hills out like it was going to be a pitch play and saw the hole. Dives across the 45 and actually reaches the 48. He picks up 8 on that carry.
I mean, he's such a complete player. When you have the ability to run a speed option with your quarterback and he's getting a gain of 8 or 9 while taking a hit, you know you've got a pretty talented athlete back there. So between him and Wes Hills, defenses never know where that ball is going.
Second and 2, trip receivers up top. But it's going to be a handoff to Hills, and he's going to kick it to the outside. He's got some running room. He's got the first down. He's trying to stretch it a little further. Is hit and knocked out of bounds by Quinlan Lambert, the safety, and gets across the 50 to the 48. And he'll pick up a total of 4, but bottom line, he got the first down.
I don't know if you saw whenever he got past the line of scrimmage, both hands clamped down on that ball. It became a matter of ball security. And so he knows at this point, no fumbles, just hold on to the ball. Let's pick up some yards and move the chain, slow, methodical, wind this play clock down. Again, nice finishing drive. You have to put it together.
Litwin, Merhot, and Wynn are the receivers split to the near side. Wes Hills now goes in motion. Roland Rivers going to do the screen as pressure comes, and Hills is hit immediately as he tried to make his turn upfield. Chris Galday is the guy who made the hit, and it's going to go for a negative yardage back into Rock territory all the way back to the 48.
Well, Galday knows. He's been reading that play all game. They've been running this screen out in the flats with the running backs, and of course the wide receivers will be able to engage with the cornerbacks and linebackers that are over them. But if the safety makes that read, he's going to come in and make the tackle, and that's exactly what happened there.
Galday from Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. He's had an interception. He's had a nice game.
He's played very well.
Second and 14 now. It'll be sidecar right for Roland Rivers, number 4, Wes Hills in the game. Trip receivers up top. Rivers looking that way. No pressure right now. He dumps it off now. And this is Jake Cirillo who pulls it in, and he almost gets back to the original line of scrimmage. He'll pick up 3.
And this is when I go back to drives that you can finish a game off, you had a play on first down where you're starting negative 4 yards in the backfield. That's what a screen is. And so when you're giving an opportunity for the defense to have a chance at a loss right out of the gate, I just run the football north and south. Wes Hills has been dominating that realm of this game so far today.
Third and 11 now for the Rock. Rivers going to do the check with me to the sideline, trying to tempt Clarion into showing their hand. Wes Hills now going to shift from sidecar right to sidecar left. 3 receivers set, 2 receivers near side. Now they're going to have to call timeout as the clock was winding down, and that'll be the first timeout of the half for Slippery Rock. And we'll take a 30-second timeout as well and return with the play in a moment. You're listening to Slippery Rock University Football on WLER in Butler, the Rock Station 97.7.
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your family. You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Negley's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System only at Negley's.
The Rock Station and Rock Football on 97.7.
So it'll be a third and 11 to 5:50 to go in the game. The Rock up 28-13. And this is a big third down as far as not allowing Clarion to have any kind of time left on a clock.
I'd imagine they're going to go to the air. Because you're looking at a third down and 11, but that has an opportunity, as you mentioned, to stop the clock and give the ball back to the Golden Eagles.
It'll be a four-receiver set, three receivers to the near side. Roland Rivers changing the play, and he's going to go to the screen of Jermaine Wynn. And he avoids a tackle, and he's going to get near the first down, but he's going to be shy by about three as he's dragged down at the 41-yard line, needed to get to the 37 of Clarion in order to get the first down, but this is probably four down territory, I would guess.
Yeah, see, this is where I would disagree with you, because I can get these guys pushed back inside the 20. That means they have to go the length of the field, and they're down by two possessions. I would definitely punt here, and I think that's what Sean Lutz is going to do.
Yeah, they are gathering the troops over on the far side, so
normally I'm with you. Yeah, in regular circumstances, I think they definitely go for this. But, you know, all things considered right now, freshman quarterback on the other side for Clarion, I think it's worth it to make them go the whole length of the field.
And the fact that you have not had great momentum on your side for this last really quarter. Back deep, Dorian Johnson standing at his 10.
And
we've got a flag, so the Rock going to obviously take a delay. And they'll back it up a pinch. So 5 minutes to go in the game.
And I really wouldn't give them an opportunity to even return this. I mean, if Chaplin can get a good boot and try to get it to the end zone, you know, let them go the whole length of the field.
Here comes the snap. He's standing at his 38. Kicks it, and he's kicking it right at the return man, Johnson, who takes it at his 12. Tries to avoid a tackle, but is brought down as he crosses the 15 to the 16, a return of four, and that's where Clarion will start out first and 10.
Good punt coverage by the Rock. They were all over the returner, able to bring him down early, and so actually now you're inside the 20-yard line. Again, force the true freshman Tanner Jones and this Clarion offense to go the length of the field. They're down by 15, so they need two touchdowns plus a two-point conversion somewhere in that mix. I like the idea there. Now it's time for the Rock defense to show up and close out this game because, frankly, their offense hasn't been able to do it.
Well, here comes the freshman leading his team back out onto the field. Tanner Jones out there with Milik McGriff in the backfield, and he'll have a three-receiver look with a tight end or fullback in. And here's the snap. And he's looking far side. Throws it up. Down the sideline it comes, out of bounds. Trying to get it out to look like, I don't know, is that Jamarian Hawkins?
That's what I had on it.
Hawkins, the intended receiver, it's incomplete.
I like the call by Clarion, though. To me, if you're going to try to get this drive sparked, it could happen with a long ball. Tanner Jones has looked good at throwing it in the short time that he's been in there, so I like the call, I like the chance. And they had it. It was just thrown a little bit to the right of Hawkins.
Well, you got to be looking at moving large chunks right now as the clock turns under 440. Here comes the snap. He's looking near side, throws it. Has his man. It's caught, pulled in, and stepping out of bounds. And now another late flag, probably going to be called on Brad Zaffram. As number 81, Mark Lewis II pulled it in, but he was hit as he was going out of bounds. And Zaffram kind of shoved him there. I don't know, maybe even pulled him out of bounds, but they're going to probably nail him for it. Because he was working his way out of bounds anyway.
He was going out of bounds.
Get out of bounds, number one, defense.
Some steps will be made for Zaffron. And you can see Brad's not happy with himself.
No.
Just an intensity play there.
And he is. He's an intense player, and things like this happen. And when you're a coach, you're trying your best in another flag. They're going to get this on Zaffron. They got to get him out of the game.
Yep, they're gonna trade him off and give him a break.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, number one of the defense. 15 yards, first down. That is his first unsportsmanlike.
You could tell he was barking at himself.
Yeah, I think may have been directed at the officials.
It might have been.
And again, you have to just know how to control yourself. He's an intense player. He flies to the football. He's aggressive. But you have to know when it works and when it doesn't work. And in a situation like this where they had to work the length of the field after a five-yard pass, you just spotted them 30 yards, and they're now in Slippery Rock territory.
Yeah, they'll spot it at the 47, so the Golden Eagles not going away. And a large part of that, the reasoning, is the Rock's problems. Here's the snap. Jones has to step up. Now he's going to look. He dumps it downfield, incomplete, and looks like he was just getting rid of that one.
Have a Clarion offensive lineman slow to get up. But Tanner Jones is fun to watch in the pocket, isn't he? Bounces around, looks down the field, extends the play. If I'm Chris Weibel, I like what I'm seeing in these short installments here from Tanner Jones, maybe just a little bit more accurate with some of his throws. But, of course, he's a freshman coming off the bench in the third quarter. Heck, he's got the hoodie on underneath his jersey.
And their only other backup is a kid out of Florida, Fort Myers, Florida, who's also a true freshman. The starting quarterback's going down. Jeff Clemens and then Seard, Javonte Seard. Second and 10 for Clarion, midfield. Jones going to step up, and he's going to run it this time, and he'll slide down across the 42 to the 41-yard line. He'll pick up six.
Quick decision-making process. He saw the pocket collapse, and again, realizing that you don't have time to extend plays whenever you're chasing a lead like this, you got to make decisions quickly, and he decided to go off the field. Now, as soon as I say that, Clarion spending copious amounts of time looking at the sideline to get the play in.
It'll be a third and four play. Clock turning under 4 minutes now. Rock up 28-13. Here's the snap. And he's going to go handoff.
That's a hold.
And there's going to be a flag coming down.
No, they didn't call it.
No,
holy
Devin
cow.
Clark goes out of bounds. He did not get the first down, though.
Garrett TBN's jersey is pulled off his shoulder pad. I mean, it was a textbook example of a hold, and they decided not to call it.
So to the 38, needed get to the 37. And it'll be fourth and one, and Clarion obviously going to go for it
didn't
here.
Did he get out of bounds?
Apparently did not, because the clock's turning down to 3:30. Must not have gotten there.
Yeah.
All right, here comes Jones. He's in the pistol. Clark remains his sidecar. They're going to pitch it out to him. He's got the first down, works his way. Boy, I don't know. He might not have gone there.
You may be right.
He's not going to make it. He started to go toward the first down marker and then got it kind of glided straight back toward the sideline, and he doesn't pick it up.
And I talk about north-south running. That has to be in the back of your mind when you're going to do that, because if he just engages contact and leans forward, he would have had the first down, and sure enough, they're not going to even bring the chains out. This is going to be Slippery Rock ball.
They're going to turn it over on downs, so a big mistake by Clark, who all he had to do was progress forward, and he decided to go for more. He doesn't get the first down as a result.
And we talked about that at the end of the first half with Austin Scott. You have to have football IQ whenever you're in situations like that. What do I need? 1 yard to keep this drive alive, to keep this game alive? I need to get 1 yard, not try to stretch it out for five, because sometimes bad things happen, and that's exactly what happened.
Back on the field comes Roland Rivers with Wes Hills. Wes Hills, 22 carries, 173 yards today, and he's going to take the handoff, and he's going to pile more. Across the 40 he goes, dives to the 45. He'll pick up seven more. Add him up to 180 now.
All right, they better run the ball straight forward for the next 5-10 plays, however long they have it. You're looking to close out a game, get it to the running back, slam it up the middle, grind clock.
Clock turns under 3 minutes, and they're going to take a lot more time here to wind this clock down. Roland Rivers just standing around. Does a check with me to the sideline. Now they get set. They'll wind the clock to about 10, then snap the ball. There it is, the 10. They're going to wind it further than that. Down to 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Now they snap it, and it's Wes Hills. And he falls right at the first down marker after a gain of 3. He might be a pinch short. Let's see. I haven't seen him wave it on just yet. Yep, now they're going to wave it on, give him 3 yards.
There you go. Again, just punch it up the middle, continue to grind clock. Doesn't look like Clarion's going to use their timeouts. They do have 3.
So first and 10, move the chains to the 49-yard line of Slippery Rock. Clock turning to 2:15. And they're going to milk it as much as they can. They can wind it under 2 minutes if they choose to do so. Double receivers up top, and I'm sure this is a run play. It's going to be just that. Hand off, Wes Hills. He goes into the pile, pushes it into Clarion territory, and he's going to pick up almost three. Down to the 48-yard line, clock under 2 minutes.
There we go. Running it straight forward.
Tyler Frill takes a sigh of relief.
Just, this drive should have been in the works, you know, 10 minutes ago.
Right.
With a chance to put the game away. And they were trying to get, in my opinion, a little too creative. As Clarion now decides to take the timeout.
And they wasted probably 11, 12 seconds.
After the play ended. Yeah.
So they'll take a timeout and stop the clock at a minute 42. So Wes Hills now 25 carries, 187 yards. He's averaging 7.5 on the day. And he's only being outdone by Roland Rivers III, who's averaging 7.7 yards per carry. He's got 9 carries for 69 yards today. So another solid day for Roland. Even though it's not been prolific through the air, he's had a couple of picks, one not of his own doing. The other was, but 17 of 29, 217 yards. So you pile on almost 280 yards of total offense again for Roland.
Yeah, and he wasn't at his best today. You know, he made some mistakes, but you have to have the ability to mentally stay engaged in the game and then also rely on your teammates to step up and make plays whenever you don't have it. Defense played one heck of a ball game, and you got the offense enough to get it done.
So a minute 42 to go on the clock.
We're barring something very unforeseen.
Yeah. Let's hold our breath for a moment. He'll be in the pistol now and hand it off to Hills. And he's going to try to stretch it. And he's got a sideline to run. And he goes out of bounds as he crosses for the first down beyond the 40, all the way down to the 35, maybe inside that. They're going to say just inside the 35 to the 34-yard line. And a big heads-up carry there for Wes Hills to move the chains.
Yep, that should seal it. You pick up the extra first down, and now it's just going to be, I think you could kneel on the ball the rest of the way.
Take it to the 33, a gain of 15 that time by Wes, and that'll put him over 200 yards on the day.
Wow.
202 on the day for Wes Hills. What a day.
I know.
And he's been getting better every week.
Oh, you can tell he's still coming back from that injury, still coming back from injuries he had previous. So I think the more the season goes along, the more football shape he's getting in.
Now he's just going to hold on with two hands and go across the 30 to the 29. He'll pick up four on that, but just gliding is number four right now. He's just so smooth to watch.
Oh, he's fun to watch. I mean, he can do it all. Like I said, he's a power back when it comes to engaging defenders. You know, he'll seek out linebackers, safeties, whoever it is. But then he also has some of the he's got the dancing ability. He can make people miss. He's got speed. He's got it all.
Really, when you looked at this game, though, would not have seen Wes Hills running for 200 yards.
No, this Clarion defense didn't allow anybody over 100.
But they've done it today. Clock under a minute now, and another handoff. Wes Hills, nope, he's going to fake it. And Roland's just going to keep it himself, saying, all right, no more pounding for you, son. I'll take a beating here. And he gains actually a yard, and now Clarion will call a timeout. So this is the first 200-yard rushing game for the Rocks since Shamar Green did so at Millersville back in September of 2014. How about that?
Wow.
And Clarion calls their second timeout of this quarter.
They got one
left.
They've
got one to go. Stops the clock at 48 seconds. 28-13, the Rock appearing like they're going to come away with the victory today and set up a huge matchup next week on the road to California, their final road game of the regular season next week.
Yeah, they're going to have to play a better football game if they want to beat Cal, especially on the road, limit the turnovers. But defensively, I mean, if you take this defensive effort the Rock had, and the touchdown they allowed was at the one-yard line after what was almost a pick six. So really, when you look at what Slippery Rock's defense did, I feel very confident in saying they held Clarion to about 6 points today outside of the one touchdown, again, when Clarion set up shop at the Slippery Rock one-yard line because of an interception.
So the Rock going to have to snap it, two more times,
I think so.
Because they have a timeout remaining. So right now, we'll check a couple of other games quickly here in a moment. Gannon beating IUP 21-16 in the second quarter.
Man.
And California is up 3-0 right now in Mercyhurst. Both those games got started very late because of lightning delays up in Erie. And they now the Rock takes a timeout, so they want to talk about something here, I guess. Interesting.
I don't know what's going on here. That's a bizarre timeout.
Edinburgh over Seton Hill in the fourth quarter, 56-12. Bloomsburg beating Lock Haven. That's a final, 33-7. And again, we'll be keeping an eye on the Cal Mercyhurst game. And now with IUP losing to Gannon, but that one's not to halftime yet. That'll be an interesting one to follow. Right now in the third quarter, Kutztown and Shippensburg are knotted at 21.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's big because you're expecting Kutztown to set up shop with Westchester for the East.
And any Shippensburg win helps the Slippery Rock strength the schedule.
So here we go now with the snap to come. Third and eight. In motion goes Wes Hills. They fake the screen, and Roland will just keep it. And he dives up over a tackler and gets down to the 35. Boy, that makes you nervous late in the game.
I do not like that call whatsoever. Why are you putting your quarterback at risk?
5-yard carry by number 14, but
I don't like that at all.
That's the quarterback putting himself at.
It was obviously a design play because they sent Hills out of the backfield.
We got another Clarion player down in the backfield. So the clock stops here at 36.6 seconds.
Longest final minute. It feels like a basketball game.
And can't see. Looks like one of the defensive linemen. Number 57. That's Alec Heldreth. Boy, that's a big man being down. That's one of their best senior defensive linemen. And he looks like he's going to be able to get up on his own power here. But struggling to get up and put some weight on that left leg. That'll be a big loss for Clarion, no doubt.
So it brings up a fourth down and three.
And the bizarre fashioning of this is you've not been able to run out the clock.
No, so you actually have to make a decision here whether to go for it, kick it, or those are the only two options, really.
Okay. So Clarion will have a 10-second runoff because of the injury.
Now, they could opt to take the timeout to keep it at 36 if they wanted.
And looks like they're going to run it off. Down to 26 remain with one timeout. So,
they can just run this out now.
Yeah, well. And I think that's what Clarion's going to allow them to do. Clock turns, and it's going to spin to zero. That's going to do it. The Rock going to come away with a 28-13 victory here at Clarion. Hard fought. We'll talk about it when we return to recap the game here on The Rock Station 97.7.